You're listening to The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel.
He was like 125, probably about, 5'4". He offered what little he had. David offered him a sling. That's all he had. And God used the sling to do some amazing things. God will take whatever you offer, whatever you use, whatever you give him, and he'll use it in amazing ways. He really will. So stop focusing on what you don't have and start focusing on what you do have. As we cling to the simple.
We want to serve God, but often we have requirements before we do. We're ready to serve him, but only if we have what's needed, like talent or financial assistance. But is that really what God wants from us? Pastor Dion demonstrates today how we can serve God with whatever we have. You might think that God wants us to have it all together before we serve him, but we can serve God with what we have right now. You can serve God even at work by being an example of Christ to your coworkers. Now let's join Pastor Dion in the book of Luke chapter 9 with today's edition of The Simple Truth.
So these people, they're coming to meet Jesus. They're coming in crowds, many of them. And as they're coming, many of the disciples recognize them. Look, that's Fred. That's the guy I prayed for that, you know, with a diseased feet. Or that's the guy that I prayed with that had that fever. Or the little girl. This is the family that I was in that town and that I told you guys about. This is them. And they went and grabbed him and brought him to meet Jesus and said, this is Jesus. Kind of like the same way you do when you invite people to church. Have you ever done that? And then you see them by surprise because you've been inviting them forever, and then they finally show up and you're like, oh, there they are. Come on over. I want to introduce you to Pastor Dion. I want to introduce them to Jesus. Amen. Isn't that awesome? So they're doing that. And what I find interesting is that these apostles, these disciples, they've changed because they were once always complaining about the crowds. You remember as the crowds would come, they would look at Jesus and say, oh, just send them away already. Oh, man. If you remember on one occasion, Jesus got his disciples in the boat of the Sea of Galilee to get away from the crowds. And he said, let's go to the other side. And the people, because the Sea of Galilee is like a lake, they saw where they were headed and where they were pointing. They said, oh, they're going to go over there. So they walked around the lake and got over there to where Jesus was. And they got there before the boat. And they're there waiting. All the crowd and the disciples are like so disgusted, so like frustrated. Ah, we're trying to get away from them. But now it's a different story. Now they're not complaining about the crowd. Now they're telling Jesus, you know, the sermon is going a little bit too long, bro. Can you cut it down? Because, you know, there's nowhere for these people to stay. There's nowhere for them to eat. All of a sudden, they're concerned about the people. You want to know why? When we begin to engage ourselves in God's work, we begin to see things through, everybody said out loud, through what? Through God's eyes. See, before, our hearts were a little bit hard because we're that way. We're selfish. All we think about is us and our needs, right? But something happens once you find Jesus and once he comes into your heart. And then all of a sudden, he starts softening your heart. He makes your heart new. And you begin to want to do things. You start wanting to get involved. One of the biggest growth things that happens in a Christian life, a growth spurt, is when they show up and say, Pastor Dan, what can I do to help around here? Where can I volunteer? How can I get involved? That is evidence of change that's taking place because life has become bigger than themselves and they want to serve others and they begin to see other people's needs and they want to help. It's no longer about, hey, what about me? What about my needs? You know, because there are a lot of people out there looking for the perfect church, you know, the one that's just going to be totally focused on them. And I try to be totally focused on you, but here's the thing. Eventually, you'll come to realize that being like Christ is not just about what's in it for me, but how can I help others? How can I be a part of what's going on here and help and connecting with other people? So the disciples began to see that. They began to see people through God's eyes. And it changed them. So now they're telling Jesus, Jesus, can you cut the sermon short? Because, you know, we need that. Jesus' teachings were amazing. In fact, the people weren't even recognizing that he had gone over time. Or, you know, they had been there a couple of hours and they were just soaking it in. And you want to know, that's Jesus was giving them, and that's why it stated it this way, Jesus was giving them what they needed most. See, they might have thought they needed healing. They might have thought that they needed help with a crisis they were going through, that they needed comfort, that they needed counsel. But Jesus gave them what they needed most. The scripture said that when all those people came to him in Bethsaida, he taught them. Sometimes we think that our need is the most important thing at that moment. And Jesus is okay with that. He wants to help with that need. He wants to heal. He wants to help with a broken relationship. He wants to help with a physical need. He wants to help with a financial issue that you're going through and stress and anxiety. He wants to help with that. But he also wants to go beyond that. He wants to teach you because it's what you need most. The Word of God is what we need more than anything else in our lives. More than healing. Jesus knows that. See, Jesus doesn't want you, because if you just got healing and you walk away, then, you know, you're going to be a healed jerk. That's it. The Word of God is what changes us. It's what changes our character. It's what changes our attitude. It's what changes, it transforms us. All right? Laying my hands on you to help you with an issue, giving you 5, 10, 20, 100 bucks to help you with needs at your home, that's one thing. But it doesn't change you. It's the Word of God that changes us. That's why Jesus, when they all came, all of them had their life touched in some way, but he gave them what they needed most, the seeds that promote or cultivate life change. He gave them teaching from the Word of God. And that's why, like I said, for some of us, he can answer our prayer and we can be totally content, but he wants so much more for us than that. He wants us to know his Word so that we can become more like him. Isn't that awesome, guys? So they're all sitting around and they're all getting caught up in the message. And the disciples are like, you know, Jesus, Jesus. There's nowhere for them to eat. And then so Jesus says, you're worried about it. Now they're all concerned about the people, right? So Jesus says, well, you give them something to eat. What do we got? Has that ever been you? Has a need ever been presented and you want to help? You recognize it's a need and you want to help, but you feel inadequate or you don't have the means to help. You know, what it's going to take to do it. So you feel inadequate when Jesus says, you help them. I'd love to, Jesus, but you know, I've been asking you to fill my bank account, but you don't. I've been asking you to give me courage, but you don't. Let's read it. Are you having fun yet? But Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men, just men. That's all they were counting. But the wives, they didn't count. And the kids, they didn't count. So think, got to be at least 7,000 people there. And all they have is 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Now, guys, I don't care how big you think the loaves are. They're not going to feed 7,000 people. All right? So here's the fact. Jesus says, you give them to eat. And they're like, they were quick. You ever notice how quick we are to give excuses to God for why we can't do it? They're quick. All we have is 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. That's all for all these people. Or else, I mean, one of us will have to go all the way to town. How could we possibly buy and carry all that food for this amount of people? So, because there were about 5,000. So then Jesus said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he blessed and he broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up after by the apostles, by the disciples. So you give them to eat, Jesus says. And they're like, oh, but you know, we don't have enough. We don't have what it takes. We don't have everything we need. You know, there will always be obstacles. We'll always have these reasons that we get stressed out. There are too many people. We don't have enough money. The project is above our ability or above our means. And that's the truth. Everybody say, that's the truth. That's the truth. The truth is, when you start doing things for God and you start seeing needs, the needs will always be bigger than what you have. They'll always be that way. So what do? Well, you give him whatever little bit that you have. You give him whatever little bit that you have. Because apart from Jesus, you can do nothing, right? You can't even cure your own dandruff, right? You can cure your own athlete's feet. You know what I'm saying? Apart from Jesus, you can't feed them. You can't transform lives. You can't help them in that kind of respect. You can't. You need Christ. So here's what you're to do. Do what the disciples did. They gave Jesus the little bit that they had. Jesus will accomplish the impossible with whatever you give him to work with, whether it's a lot or just a little bit. I mean, think about Moses. You know what he offered God? He offered God his walking stick. And look how that turned out. God says, give me that walking stick? Yeah. Lift it up. When they're trapped, he lifts it up and it opens the Red Sea. It wasn't the staff. There was no miraculous power in the staff. It was God. It was Moses. God, this is all I have. All I've got is this walking stick. And God took the walking stick and creates a miracle. Does something amazing. He did the same thing, of course, with Samson when he took the jawbone of a donkey. The Philistine army was coming against him, coming against his people. That's all he had. That's all there was. He grabbed something quick. It was the most available thing. It seemed so little, so menial. But God used it to work an amazing miracle. He slaughtered all the Philistine soldiers. One man with a jawbone of a donkey. All those thousands of Philistine soldiers. I think there were 3,300. I don't remember exactly, three something. But he kills them all. One man. And before you start thinking that Samson is like that 6'4 guy, you know, 280, totally muscular bodybuilder guy that comes out on the, you know, whatever Bible programs they show. Nah, he wasn't. He was like 125, probably about, you know, 5'4. He offered what little he had. David offered him a sling. That's all he had. And God used the sling to do some amazing things. God will take whatever you offer, whatever you use, whatever you give him, and he'll use it in amazing ways. He really will. So stop focusing on what you don't have and start focusing on what you do have. Kind of like the car that was full of nuns. They were on their way to choir practice, choir rehearsal, and they ran out of gas. Those priests, the fathers, they didn't put gas in the car. They run out of gas. And all of a sudden, somebody's passing by and they saw one of the nuns draining a bedpan into the empty gas tank. And he pulls over and slows down and he rolls down his window and he says, "Whew, sisters, you guys really have huge faith." The sister said, "It's not that we have huge faith. It was the only thing we had to get the gas from the station to the car." You guys got it? All right? That was all there was in the trunk to get the gas from the station to the car. All right? You got to use whatever little bit you have. Put it to good use. Get out your bedpan. I mean, listen, you can sit on the side of the road all bummed out and frustrated, or you can use whatever you have. So get out your bedpan, right? Your bedpan could be your talent. Maybe it's just the talent you have. Your bedpan could be your time. There's a couple of extra hours you have a week. Or a couple of extra hours in the month, whatever little bit. Your bedpan could be your Facebook page, could be your cell phone, could be your vocational training. And I mean that by saying, you know, you could get your cell phone and you could text somebody and give them encouraging words and impact their life forever. Because that little bit, you could volunteer here at church. You could start with what you have. And that's basically it, what it's, the story is. Start with what you have, make it available to the Lord, and he will use it for his glory. Because here's what Jesus does with that. That's all they have, the little boy's lunch, that, you know, 2 fish, 5 loaves. They bring it to Jesus, and Jesus turned it into this. So whatever little bit you have, Jesus will use that and turn it into something much greater. All right? Because you can't do it on your own. You know, my wife can do some amazing things with leftovers. But multiplying last night's chile rellenos to feed 5,000 people, she can't do that. Only the Messiah. Say it out loud. Only the Messiah. And that's what Luke is actually trying to drive on this picture, on this particular story, is that he's already proved that Jesus is a real man. Now he's proving that Jesus is divine, that he is the Son of God, that he is the fulfillment of the prophecy. Okay? He is doing what Moses did. All right? Moses fed the multitudes in the wilderness, and Moses' own prophecy, talking about the future Messiah. This is what Moses said in Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. In other words, that will do the same things that I have done from your midst, from your brethren. Well, Jesus, just like Moses, has just fed the multitude in the desert with a little boy's lunch. Isn't that awesome? Now, in the four Gospels that we read, okay, in the four Gospels that we read, each of the Gospel writers wrote about this miracle, about Jesus feeding the multitude. All of them all say the same about the amount of people that were there, and they all say that all those people ate and they were filled. The word means glutted. In the Greek, the word filled means glutted. It is the feeling that you get after the Thanksgiving meal. Or when you're walking out of Golden Corral. You know what I'm saying? You're unbuttoning your belt, unbuttoning your pants, popping some antacids when you get to the car. It's that feeling, okay? So all of those people ate out of 5 loaves and 2 fish. 7,000 people ate until they were glutted. Oh, I am so full. Now, the way it happened is Jesus told the disciples, sit people in camps or tribes of 50. There was 5,000 people, so think about 10 tribes, 10 camps. They put out the 2 loaves, you know, the 5 loaves in a basket, the 2 fish, they put other put them out there, and they had people in the first 50 come and get the bread. So the people come, they're reaching in a basket, they're getting a loaf of bread, they're going back. I mean, after 5, and then 6 is still getting it, and 7, and 8, and 9, and 49, and 50. Next group, 5,000 people get a loaf of bread. Everybody gets bread and fish. They all eat until they're glutted. And then they say, hey guys, if there's any leftovers, can we take them up, you know, for the next time? 12 baskets full. Jesus is truly the Son of God, right? And that's when Jesus asks this next question. Jesus says this. Jesus says, hey, listen, guys. After that miracle, he sends the crowd home. They can now go home. Their bellies are filled. They can camp out. They can do whatever they want. Jesus pulls his disciples and he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're the prophet. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist, raised from the dead. Everybody has a speculation. Everybody has an opinion. And then Jesus says, who do you say that I am? The disciples saw Jesus. The disciples saw Jesus and do many other miraculous signs in addition. And it happened as he was alone praying with his disciples, joined him, and he asked them, saying, who the crowd say that I am? So they answered and said, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that you're one of the old prophets, has risen again. And he said to them, but then who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, everybody said out loud. Now, Peter is like the Lloyd Christmas of all the disciples. You know, he's like from Dumb and Dumber, and he always says the stupidest things. But this time, he's spot on. When Jesus says, who do the crowd say that I am? And they have all kinds of opinions. And he says, who do you say that I am? He says, you are the Son of God. And Jesus says, Peter, you are a rock. And on this revealed knowledge, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. And can you see Peter? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Can you see him telling the other disciples, I told you so. I'm the one. I know what he said. I like it a lot. That's what he said. Now, yeah, I'm going to close with this. How we answer the question, who do you say that Jesus is? determines our salvation, determines our future, and determines our present. Okay? Jesus, our belief and our faith in Jesus impacts today, tomorrow, and forever. All right? Believing in Christ and knowing who He is, recognizing that He is the Son of God, impacts all of those things. I say it this way. When you believe in Christ, I use this as an illustration. How many of you people know what a trust fund baby is? Huh? Trust fund baby. So somebody asked, told me afterwards, I don't know what a trust fund baby. That is a person whose parents are immensely wealthy. They've left them a trust fund. They never have to work a day in their life, okay? They never have to worry about things because financially, economically, they are taken care of. They are set for life. Everybody say it out loud. What? Set for life. Now, let me ask you. If you happen to have wealthy parents that left you a multi-million dollar trust fund and you are set for life, will you still have problems? Will you still have difficulties? Could you still get sick? But, right? But you have some source. You have a source in which you can get from. Now, the thing is, that can give you healing. The money can't give you peace. The money can't give you happiness. The money can't give you comfort. The money can't even give you strength, right? You can't do those things. Well, when we have faith in Christ, we are set for life. You are a trust fund baby. But with all the things, it's not financial, with comfort and strength and counsel and encouragement, you have a source. In fact, here's the verse. When you follow Jesus as your shepherd, Psalm 23, it's the last one. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord after I die forever. All right? Trust fund baby. So, even though I'm going to go through stuff, you know what? I have a source. Goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life because I'm following Jesus as a shepherd. And here's the thing. Sometimes when I'm having a bad day, I just raise up my hand. I say, goodness and mercy, I'm right over here. Because they're hunting me down. They're going to find me. They're going to get me through whatever it is that I'm going through. They might not get me out, but they'll get me through. Because that's the promise you have. And I will get through this life. You will get through this life until the one day we cross this threshold into the next. And man, it just gets better. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You have a wealthy father that has left you a trust fund that goes from the time that you believe and will carry you through all the way until you meet him again, and even then some. As we cling to the simple
You've been listening to The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova. We're so glad that you're here today. Pastor Dion has been getting up close and personal with this series entitled Encounters with Jesus. Can you imagine living during the days that Jesus walked the earth? Picture even being a part of his entourage, traveling around the area, witnessing his miraculous acts. Even more important than that would be observing the way that he treated people, interacting with the outcasts and the sick, embracing them, and loving them for who they were. That's what Pastor Dion has been teaching on throughout the gospel books that detail Jesus' life here on earth. What a gift and honor it must have been to be in the presence of Jesus during those days. Thanks for joining us here today. The Simple Truth is a ministry of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel in Española, New Mexico. We're coming close to the end of our time here today, but if you don't want it to end, well, we've got some great news for you. Are you ready for it? We've got more eye-opening messages stored up for you. Just head over to tmcalvary.com to find them. At tmcalvary.com, you'll find a link to our YouTube archive with hundreds of messages from Pastor Dion. You can also go to the Media tab to find more messages from this series. Once again, that website is tmcalvary.com to access those encouraging and helpful resources. Well, our time together is up, but we'll be back again with more from Pastor Dion as he continues this series, Encounters with Jesus, right here on The Simple Truth. You're the one that we proclaim.
fools for you as you work in us. May your power show in the deeds we sow. Let us join our hands and together we stand.
Together we stand.